This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ain't it just like the night to play tricks when you're trying to be so quiet? We sit here stranded. They're all doing our best to deny it. And Louise holds a handful of rain, tempting you to defy it. Lights flicker from the opposite loft. In this room, the heat pipes just cough. The country music station plays soft, but there's nothing, really nothing, to turn off. Just Louise and her lover so entwined, and these visions of Johanna that conquer my mind. Truly deeply moving lyrics. That's Visions of Johanna by the one, the only Bob Dylan, poet, icon. Imagine if I was like, who, I don't know who that is. Whatever. That wasn't a good joke. Anyway, moving on. The year's 1993, and we're listening to Bob Dylan all year, any year. It could be any year. Kind of an evergreen artist, one might say. And as you all know, I go to the most reputable sources on the internet to find you guys pop culture moments of 1993. And today, Tevi, we're visiting a site we've been to before. We are going to one of my favorite sites, MrPopCulture.com, for our 1993 year in review. Okay. I'm gonna be fast because I'm really excited for my guest on the show today. So I'm just gonna. There, a lot happened in 1993. I'm actually kind of taken aback. 1993 was huge for film. Okay, it was huge. Jurassic Park, Mrs. Doubtfire, The Firm, The Fugitive, Sleepless in Seattle, Schindler's List. I mean. Talk about a big, big year. Batman, okay? Army of Darkness, don't know what that is, but that came out too. Then we have, if I keep scrolling down all these ads, the top songs of the year. I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston. I Will Do Anything for Love by Meatloaf. I Can't Help Falling in Love. Oh my God, so much love by UB40. And Creep by Radiohead. Holy shit. Y'all, this is serious. I'm trying to find some other good things. Ooh, there was a stamp released by the United States Postal Service on January 8th, 1983. The stamp featured Elvis Presley. That sounds amazing. Wow, didn't age well, but Michael Jackson did perform at the Super Bowl that year. And to end this kind of gorgeous, amazing year of 1993, Prince turned 35 and announced the change of his name to a love symbol. Now, where were we when Prince did that? We were in New York City, and we are Jesse Klein. Jesse.
Hello.
What a treat.
What an
to have you on the show.
Gift to be here. Thank you.
Let's briefly talk about 1993.
Yeah.
That was a star-studded year.
Star-studded. The things you were saying, it all came flooding back to me.
Did
really.
Did you feel the impact? Did you feel the impact of the stamp?
I mean, I don't remember anything but the stamp.
Yeah.
No, I was like, oh my God, Prince turned 35. Mm-hmm. Do you know that he's dead?
I actually do. I do know that Prince is deceased.
He's not with us anymore. Oh, but he was just a young, powerful 35.
Young chap.
changing his name to that thing.
That symbol.
Wow, I didn't realize that was that year.
I know.
This is already a win for me.
It is.
Yes.
Were you a Prince fan?
Yes. Always a Prince fan. But yeah, very, at that moment, very hardcore into Bob Dylan. Kind of had, was just like those lyrics.
Yeah.
As you're saying them, I was kind of cringing. Mm. But I was like, who understands a 17-year-old girl better than this?
Better than Bob.
Better than this, at the time, I don't know, 50-year-old man or something like that. And this older man.
I mean, yeah. Let's talk about someone who's still alive, Bob Dylan.
Still very much alive, still touring.
Touring, can you believe?
Writing books.
I know.
God bless.
God bless.
Hashtag God bless.
Let's not, now I'm scared that if we come together in this coven, he's always alive forever. He's
going
to be alive forever.
Yes, he lives forever.
I do feel like he sleeps in like a hyperbaric chamber or something like that.
Something like that, or just like there are people of that era where I feel like the amount of pot and acid consumed has kind of made the chamber within.
Yeah, they're like Teflon.
Teflon, but from within.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I would like to think that I've done that to myself.
I mean, I'm a little, this is a good segue, everyone. I mean, just to say, in the high school of it all, I'm a little nerdling.
You are.
I really don't do any drugs.
Well, you went to a famously nerdy high school.
I did go to a famously nerdy high school.
You went to Stuyvesant.
I went to Stuyvesant High School.
Question before we go any further.
Yeah.
Are you on the Wikipedia page for famous Stuyvesant alumni?
Oh, I'm sure I'm not.
You might be.
I would highly doubt it.
We can look it up after the show.
Okay. Yeah, I'm certain. Or
I can have Tevi look it up. Tevi, will you look up?
Oh no,
famous
this is gonna
Stuyvesant
be. I feel
alumni?
Like this. This is just gonna be humiliating.
No, you never know.
I'm not famous.
We can add you. I can add you.
I mean, I should type myself in.
You should.
I was. Who are the people? So wait, it's Thelonious Monk. It's Lucy Liu. Yes. It's also the Beastie Boys.
Yes.
I believe all three of them, but I could be wrong.
No, I think you're correct. I'm just going to say I think you're correct because I genuinely don't know.
In the Fight for Your Right to Party video, yes. I want to say at least, is it, I don't remember which one of them, but one of them at least is wearing a Stuyvesant Phys Ed t-shirt,
love
I
it.
Believe.
I love it.
You can check my work and please do.
Did you have to, so you had to test into that high school.
Yeah, this is such deep cuts for someone who, if people aren't from New York, but yeah.
No, New York, I would like to say that New York.
It's not a Gossip Girl high school. It's not one of those ones, it's not the Fame School,
but
which was LaGuardia.
It falls into the category of a LaGuardia in that rather than auditioning to get into this school,
sure.
You still have to test into the school. And it is a very hard school to get into.
It is a public school that you do have to test into. There's a group of schools that you take this sort of SAT-esque standardized test for. It was evident then, and it's even worse now, not to get heavy, but like there's been a lot of press. It's just a very racist like entryway into the school. People of color or black people and Latino people have always been very underrepresented there. But anyway, it's been this way forever. They're talking about changing the test. But yeah, it's just a gruelingly stupid test. And it's a specialized math and science school. I am awful at both math and science.
How'd you get in?
I'm just a decent test taker, I think. And I think I lucked out that day.
Yeah.
Because when I tell you I can't do math and science and suffered deeply, I didn't like it there. But it's a good school.
Yeah.
It was a safe school. Made some lifelong friends there.
Great.
But yeah, it's a bit of a nerd school.
So you're in
with some interesting stuff at the edges.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there were the kids who were doing a lot of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it was, yeah, there were like a few. Yeah, there was a certain amount of gang activity that was going on around the edges. But it was I think the student body, don't hold me to these. It was like 50% Asian. Mm. And then I don't know what the percentages of what remained. But yeah, it was like a lot of first generation kids there. Definitely a lot of very, very hardworking individuals, many of whom excelled at math and science, yeah. And I was not one.
So what did you do when you got there?
I just, I really just suffered. There was like, by your senior year, you were supposed to like be, there were so many math classes you had to take. I was bad at all of them.
Ugh.
My senior year, you're supposed to by then be in pre-calculus or calculus.
Oh,
and I was
God.
Just like, there's no... No world. And there was one out that was given. They had one like for dummies, and it was a class called speaker building,
mm-hmm.
where you would build a speaker, because I guess there's math involved in that.
Yeah, that's
but
like,
to be honest, I don't think my speaker was successful.
Really? Did it not work?
I think I got
from scratch, or would they give you like a kit?
We had to it was components, and we're connecting wires, and anyway, I'm so glad
that's
I'm out of there.
Really funny that building a speaker was a class.
Yeah.
I famously, everyone who listens to this pod knows that I was so bad at math. I had a teacher actually like wonder if I was like okay.
Like maybe we need to assess her.
Yeah, like
that was me.
Like how is she here vibes.
My
like,
son is 8 years old and now has to do like he has homework.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's going to be going into third grade. So I'm talking second grade math is what we were just on. Kids also now learn math in an entirely
different way. Yes.
And I'm like, I don't understand and I cannot help.
Yeah.
If you need help writing dick jokes, if you need help drawing some kind of expressive watercolor, I'm your gal.
Yeah.
If you want to snuggle, I'm here. But like, I can't with the math.
No, but you'll be very clutch when it comes to like reading essays.
Watercolor.
You know what I mean? And watercolor.
Yeah, a story, a watercolor, some dick jokes, that kind of thing, yeah.
My dad was a lawyer, and both my parents worked like, you know, in politics and things of that nature. So both of my parents were very formal. Like they had tremendous like formality in how they wrote and how my dad writes.
Yeah.
And I, for so long, like, I mean, my parents were so not involved in me and my schooling at all because I was the third.
I like the sense
and they
were not like, involved
girl.
In me.
Yeah,
my parents were not involved in
they
me.
They really weren't.
But parents didn't really used to be.
Yeah, period.
Yeah.
But I do remember this one time my dad like reviewing an essay of mine. And at the end I read it and I was like, this reads like the fucking Declaration of Independence.
We the people.
Yeah, it was just like so formal.
Yeah.
And I have had to deprogram that from my brain.
Yeah.
Because, like, everything that I would write would be so formal.
Oh, same. But we were basically dipping our little feathers into our little, like, ink pen.
It's true.
Things. That's what we were doing. Now kids are like, ew, you're using punctuation.
You're dead. It's true.
It's wild how we evolve.
How do you feel about homework?
Bad about it.
Yeah.
I think it's almost entirely pointless.
You think it's a waste of time?
100%.
Do you think it helps build your tools
no.
for, like, being focused?
No. No. I think it's just so interesting now to have this perspective as a parent and as someone, like, I did my schools.
Yes.
I'm now in the world. I'm like, let's look at this path. I don't even super think that college is that important either.
Yeah, but here's my question.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, I've said to my kid's dad, I'm like, if he wants to go to college, great.
Mm-hmm.
And it would probably be good.
Yeah.
But secretly hoping there's some, like, breakout skill.
Yeah.
That just, like, if, I don't know, I feel like if people are on a path, they're on a path. It's fine.
My only argument for college, and I am someone that I went to Parsons. I studied art. Like, I'm someone
I love that.
Yeah, but, like, huge waste of money, you know, because it's...
But was it?
I don't...
You expressed yourself. You were
totally,
learning who you were.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a huge waste of money. I'll take that back.
Yeah.
Please feel like... I will take it back. I feel like... What like I'm excited for the day I direct something because
yes.
I do feel like I do have an eye.
You have an eye. You have vision.
I do, but the only pro of college that I actually really, this is the only reason I ride for college.
Yeah.
Is I do think it helps teach you socialization skills.
That's 100% true.
And just like how to, because it is sort of the soft landing between living with your parents and being plopped into the real world.
Totally true. Yes. You know? The socialization and the sort of, like you said, the bridging. Now you have me convinced. I guess I should make, I just, well, you know what? Here's the thing. This is, I'm realizing I'm dragging some baggage in, but this is also back to high school.
So honestly, thank you for taking the pod back to high school.
I was always an artsy kid.
Yes.
Again, math and science, no thanks.
Watercolors, yes.
Watercolors, stories, all kinds of things. I was actually a good visual artist. Mm. And I had like little secret dreams of acting or performing or doing something mm-hmm. like that, even though I was very shy. So I wanted to go to the FAME school, to LaGuardia, yes. which is the public art school that yes. you audition, et cetera, to get into. I auditioned for the drama department.
And what were your audition materials?
I had a monologue that, God, it was just, one was like some funny monologue. I can't remember what it was. I can't remember what either of them were, but it was like a funny and a dramatic. And I auditioned, and I also did a portfolio for the art department. Not to brag, but I got in for both.
Wait, what?
What?
So hold on. You didn't go to LaGuardia?
No.
Because why not?
My parents, who I love and are still alive and God bless, and were doing the best that they could. And if they hear this, they'll be so mad. Because this is like, this is one of the things that me and my dad will still fight about. And he gets mad if I bring it up, but he will never listen to this because he doesn't have any technology around him.
I'm going to reach out to your dad. I'm going to like, find your dad's email.
Please. Dad doesn't have an email. Oh, I'm great. Telling you, he's unreachable. He's on an island. My older brother had gone to Stuyvesant. And I think in his mind, it just felt like a more rounded education. Mm. Here's a good high school tidbit too. So I got in. And there was like an accepted students day at LaGuardia to come sniff it out. I haven't thought about this in so long. So, you know, and it's like.
So wait, are you in eighth grade at this point?
I'm in eighth grade. Yeah. So I'm like choosing between Stuyvesant and FAME school. It's like, come check out the school you've been accepted day.
Do they pair you with a student?
I think there was like a tour. I can't remember if I was paired with a specific student, but the defining moment was there were like, you know, students working the door, handing out like the program for the day when because everyone's going into this big assembly before they walk around. And it was, you know, it's like art kits.
Yeah.
Drama kits. And my dad is a retired probation officer.
Whoa.
He's a very serious person.
Yeah.
Not without a sense of humor, but ultimately very serious soul. We're going in. This art kit is like hands us our program and says to my dad as he's handing the program, he goes, Merry Christmas. I'm weird.
Oh.
It was not Christmas. No. It was, and my dad.
Not you Merry could Christmas, see, I'm
Merry
weird.
Merry Christmas, I'm weird. No. I remember it to this day.
That's
and I could
so
see
bad.
My dad's face like darken. I was like, I'm not going to let her go to this fool's circus. He was skeptical going in.
That was the nail in the coffin.
And it was kind of the nail in the coffin. I'm not going to say that he didn't allow me to go, because if he ever were to hear this podcast, that would be like, he's like, you had a choice.
Right.
But I was such a daddy's girl.
But then you're like, but the person who said Merry Christmas, I'm weird, was Daniel Day-Lewis.
was Daniel. You may know him as Christian Bale.
Yeah.
It was Jennifer Aniston. Or any of the number of very famous people who went to that school. It ruined it. So I always,
God,
in my mind.
That would have driven me crazy. Were you so pissed every day going to Stuyvesant?
I'm sitting here 20 billion years later, I'm still pissed.
Do you think that had you gone to LaGuardia, you would have
Do you
have
think
been
I haven't
a
done a whole
different...
sliding doors of what my life would have been? I am convinced if I had gone to LaGuardia, I would be like a super famous actress. Now,
shut up!
I'm convinced of it. Now,
that's
but
so funny. Oh
I
God,
just,
I felt, I...
or at least a sliding doors path.
By the way,
or I would be exactly where I am right now, which is probably more likely.
By the way, I use the term "shut up" one time. A listener DM'd me and was like, "Don't tell your guests to shut up." When I say "shut up," it's a term of endearment. But what I mean to say is, I always because I. always knew I wanted to be an actress.
Yeah.
And I always knew I wanted to perform and whatever. But I was so deterred in high school.
Yeah.
That I also always daydream about, like, you know, had my mom just, because I begged my mom for an agent when I was like 9 and she was like, no. But I always am like, had my mom just like, let me get an agent. I would have won my first Oscar by now.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, and it's so hard, you know, when you can like taste something. And I could imagine the fact that you got into LaGuardia, which is also a really, really, really
it's all hard. I have right now is to say that I got in.
And for people that don't fully grasp what this is, like, getting into LaGuardia is the equivalent of getting into like Kid Juilliard.
Well, maybe, in my mind. Well, I'll agree with you because it makes me feel better. In fairness to my dad, I could see the narrative he was constructing, which it's like, while there are your Jennifer Anistons and your, I can't remember off the top of my head who the other famous LaGuardia actors
Timothy
are.
Chalamet.
Oh, did he go to LaGuardia?
And so did,
it's a Google away.
What's his face? A bunch of other people.
Many others. But while there are
Lady
them.
Lady Gaga.
Oh, Lady Gaga went to LaGuardia. Oh, yeah. Or no, she did not.
She didn't?
I'm almost certain she went to Spence.
Oh, can we see where Miss
Stephanie... There's no way to know. I'm pretty sure that she's a Spence girl.
I could see that.
Which is a very specific kind of
which
girl
is an
as well.
All girls
along
school.
With a Gwyneth, along with a Kerry Washington, along with my friend Kristen, along with... along with those bright lights who graduated from LaGuardia, also... The many, many thousands who got in there and we don't know who they are.
Yeah.
They're working whatever they're doing. So I think in my dad's mind, it was just like, this feels like a very young age to commit to going to like what in his mind maybe felt like a trade school.
Yeah.
I think that phrase may have been used. Now, yeah. Anyways.
My mom referred to me going to Parsons as me going to a trade school.
Parsons feels so elevated to me.
I mean, Parsons, like, especially when I was
Fancy school.
It is. But, it really kind of, in many ways, was a trade school.
But what, I mean,
who cares? I actually think trade schools should come back.
Yes. Well, this is what I'm saying kind of about with my own child. I just think the whole idea of a liberal arts education
is deeply flawed.
Is deeply flawed and certainly has a place, and God bless. But I think especially in the world as it has evolved, like, I'm just saying, if he, like, you know, at 16, like, he's interested in music, like, breaks out.
Totally.
Goes around it.
It's
fine.
I think that we have less fear now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I think it's like a twofold thing. Like, the world simply does feel like it's ending. So it's kind of just like,
fuck it, whatever.
Also, it's like, I think that we, through whatever technology and a myriad of things, kind of we have less permanence in life. I think our parents. Whether they were...
Yeah, there was like, my kid's going to graduate and get a job they'll have for 40 years.
Correct.
And
or like, when I get married, this is the person I am spending the rest... Not that you shouldn't take your marriage seriously, but like, even something like divorce is like...
Yeah.
Way more common, and not like every single decision you make is like the biggest decision of your life. That's so stressful.
It's so stressful. But I do... It's funny, like... I do think about in that parallel world of like, where would we have been if only your mom had gotten you an agent? Like, I feel like there is that story about Emma Stone, like, putting together a PowerPoint presentation for her parents when she was like 14 years old.
Yeah.
By the way, my stomach is growling so loud. I'm so sorry. But she was 14-ish or something and put together this PowerPoint presentation to her parents about why she was destined to be an actress, why they had to move to L.A. Is she from Arizona? Maybe.
Yes, yes.
Had to move to L.A. to, like, let her pursue this thing. And they did it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
no,
who are these parents who were like, yes, we'll pack up and move? I'm like, I couldn't get my parents to, like, send me to the school.
I know.
But that's kind of like being born with, like, $1 billion, is to have that level of self-belief and to have the people around you who are just like, okay.
Were you a stressed out teen?
What do you think?
I think yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I was a very good I was trying to be a very good student. I was a very good student, like, in the subjects I was capable of doing.
Yeah.
I was, like, it was very important to me to, like, get A's.
Right.
I could not do it in math.
But everything else.
I was working very hard. I cared a lot.
Did you do extracurriculars?
No. None. That was, like, that I also feel like I see through the lens, and I think, like, this is kind of also part of, like, a big, deep conversation that's happening now. Like, to me, those were for rich kids to do. I'm like, there was so many of those are things you kind of have to pay to do.
But, like, were you on, like, Model UN, or were you on, like, Quiz Bowl? Or were you on, like, you know, something of that sort?
I know, you know, in junior high school, oh, I guess another brag, I was, in junior high school, I was the captain of the debate team.
Wow. And this is incorporating performance.
I had some dexterity as a speaker. And then I remember I went to a very, very small little public junior high school that somehow my parents found was very small. And then when I started Stuyvesant, I remember there was the day that was like sign up for the debate team. And it was like the sign up day for all the things. And I showed up. I'm like, maybe I'll do that again. And the line was like
so long.
So long. Ugh. And I was like, I'm not standing on this line.
Hell is standing in a line to sign up for a debate club. It's really good.
I didn't, because there were just so many kids who were wildly high achieving there.
Yeah.
Wildly high achieving.
Like brilliant.
Very brilliant, striving, working so hard. I thought I was working hard.
Yeah.
And I was.
Yeah.
There were people all around me working so much harder.
You know when parents have kids and they're like, oh, my baby's a genius. My baby's a genius. Do you feel that way about your child?
I mean, of course I do in some things. My child is really gifted at surprise. Like, just, it's kind of one of the things that's interesting about having a kid is, like, you don't know what they're going to be good at.
Yeah.
He is an incredible athlete.
Wow.
Which is very, like, I don't have anything to do with that.
I love that.
Yeah, he's, like, an incredibly just gifted athlete, incredible soccer player. And I'm not the only one, like, saying, like, he's out on the field
he's
and, like,
kicking that ball.
He's scoring insane numbers of goals.
Scoring those points.
Very graceful.
I love it.
And he's really always been very good at music, which I love music, but I cannot do it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I also have a down. Like, I'm like, I see the things he's not good at.
Totally.
Like, I'm really good at drawing.
Right.
Not my kid's strength.
I always feel like if I were to have a kid and it would start being like a piano prodigy, I would actually be kind of scared.
Yeah,
like, I mean, 2-year-olds that can just like fucking slay Mozart.
It's a little like Poltergeist or something.
Very terrifying. Yeah, it's weird. What spirit is possessing
you? I know what you mean. It can get a little creepy when they're like 2. It's like, he's going to college at age 7.
Yeah.
You're like, ew.
You know, I mean,
no.
Like, thank God the Ellen DeGeneres show is off air, so we don't need to see any more of those toddlers.
Yeah.
I'm just like, they're demon babies.
Yeah, it is a little demon. Yeah, he doesn't have. Nothing disturbing.
Nothing demonic.
No. But the music and the sports of it all are really lovely to see.
So you did not play sports in high school?
No. No. It didn't even seem, I mean, Martin, this is so, it's a little factoid about Stuyvesant. Stuyvesant, it is named after Peter Stuyvesant, mm-hmm. who I guess was like the mayor of New Amsterdam,
wherever
it was at the time. And I guess he had a peg leg for a leg, which was, you know, a prosthetic. Yeah. That was the prosthetic leg available at the time.
Yeah.
And all of our teams, which we were not, you know, that was not our strength at Stuyvesant. But we did have some sports teams, but they were all like called the peg legs.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I think I have that correct.
Oh, my God.
So that seemed odd. But I wasn't doing that. I'm not, like, incapable athletically. Like,
right.
I have, I have an older brother. My dad was actually a very good athlete. So we'd like play basketball downstairs. Yeah. But I didn't have that. The high school sports experience was like a no.
If you told me you were an equestrian, I would believe you.
Oh my God. What?
And I mean that as the highest compliment. My sister was an equestrian.
I'm experiencing it as the highest compliment. I truly don't feel
equestrian energy.
I am. Yes. Is it because I look like a horse?
No. It's just you're giving if you told me.
Because I'm a little huffy.
Like, yeah, because I looked at your hoof feet energy, and I thought that they are.
It's a little hoof down there.
No.
Wow.
If you were like, I low-key rode horses, I would have been like, okay.
I mean, you might be sensing the energy of a woman who does, like, love to see a horse. Sure. And read, like, in high school was reading all those Black Stallion books.
See, I also feel like, because the picture that I'm getting is like, okay, you were really sort of, like, neurotic, perhaps.
Fair.
And invested in school.
Yes.
And I kind of feel like that's sort of the perfect equation for
riding
horses. But I could also just be projecting my sister onto you because there is something about you that reminds me of my sister.
Oh, okay.
Because my sister was also very good at school.
Okay.
I was like pretty intense. She was more, she like drank and stuff in high school.
Yeah.
You didn't do that.
No. I mean, every now and then there was access to like, there were the kids who went to private schools. Mm. There was, like, the whole New York City private school circuit, which felt like another world.
Yeah.
Like, the Daltons and the Spences and the Dwight. Dumb white kids getting high together. What else? Collegiate. Where else were people? Those places.
Horseman.
Fieldston. All those places.
Riverside.
I barely knew those places existed, but then I had most of my friends were my friends from junior high. I was never like a popular kid, but I had glommed on to having some friends who were popular.
Yeah,
and then
was
like a sidekicky person.
Was it clicky at Stuyvesant?
It was clicky. Like, there was just, you know, those clumps of, like, attractive, popular kids hanging outside on those steps.
Smoking ciggies. Love it.
I was never – I was really pretty invisible in that school, I will say.
I was really hoping the sentence was, I was really pretty.
You know, in retrospect, I think probably had I pulled it together – I could have been, but I was like,
no.
I was walking around. I was kind of grunge.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Aww.
Thank you to Angie for sponsoring this HeadGum podcast. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well.
Indeed. So if you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need.
Yeah, doing stuff yourself seems fun, but then you actually get to, you know, solving a problem and you realize that you can create 10 more problems, and then you probably should have just paid a professional to deal with it right off the bat.
You can easily injure and or maim yourself as well.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
No.
Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. You just get the app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. It's very convenient.
It sure is, folks, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that.
So download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Thank you, Angie.
Angie.com.
Thank you.
I would say when I entered high school, I was kind of doing like a faux hippie kind of vibe.
Well,
like,
a la Bob Dylan.
A la Bob Dylan, just a flower child.
Love it. Like a Stevie Nicks kind of situation.
No,
or more
never
like a
scarves.
Penny Lane.
No.
Like, oh, or like a more like a Joan Baez, perhaps. Or like a Grateful Dead sort of tie-dye-y.
Oh, no. Don't take me to Grateful Dead now. That's I can't go to there. And I apologize to the Grateful
to the
Dead.
Many deadheads listening
the
to this
many
podcast.
Deadheads in their vans headed to the next show. I don't know. I just it was like a long skirt, a beaded necklace. And I was like, that's what I am.
Like peasant.
A peasant
like look.
A peasant.
Yeah.
A peasant.
Like Doen before Doen.
Oh, Doen before Doen. Exactly. And then somewhere around, I think like year two, year three, I shifted to like grunge. Mm. And then like.
Like flannel.
A flannel. I'm embarrassed to say this, but did buy and wear a Die Yuppie Scum t-shirt.
Great.
Multiple days of the week.
Great. I love that.
I don't know.
What was the shoe?
The shoe was either a Converse that I drew on.
Of course. But you're a good drawer, so
it was
cool.
Okay. Or my friend Marsha, who I'm still friends with, I actually owe her text. She was like this cool girl I made friends with, and she had those like combat boots with the zipper up the side, mm-hmm. like the ones you really got from like an army surplus store.
Yeah.
That were actually very comfortable and like very cool at the time. So it was one of those two.
Those are cool now. Those are still cool.
They're still cool.
Both shoes you listed, actually both outfits you still listed,
mm-hmm.
still existing, thriving.
Thriving.
Today.
Thriving, living their best lives.
We can walk out the door in Silver Lake.
They're
and
drifting
see,
by maybe
spot
right
them
now.
Immediately.
Yeah. They probably are out there.
Do you have any items, like any clothing items from high school still?
You know, I held on to those combat boots for a real long time. Like long after they were really falling apart. I had them like reshod many times. Mm. And then this is really disgusting, sad detail.
What? I want to hear it.
Late 20s, I was living in New York. I'll just cut to the end. I'd subletted my apartment to someone, and I ended up getting bed bugs from that person. And then I had to basically throw away, like, every possession I owned.
No.
And I remember, yes. And it was, like, it became so hard to deal with.
Bed bugs is actually one of my biggest fears.
I hate to tell you this, but it should be. Like, it kind of changed my life. It changes the way I live and move through the world.
Everyone I know that has had bed bugs
mm-hmm.
says the same thing.
It's never. Like
Your whole life. It changes the course of your life.
If life becomes like parkour, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Like getting around bed bugs.
Yeah.
One of the big things, if people take away nothing except this, when you go to a hotel, you are never, do not put your suitcase down on the floor on anything. You use that rack.
Yeah.
Because that's how they get you. And like wash your clothes the minute you get home in hot water. And then, which isn't hot water, isn't even really the thing, but then dry on highest heat. But you do not put your suitcase down on the floor. I don't care if you're in the Paris Ritz.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
No, these bed bugs do
not
discriminate,
and
honey.
It's impossible to get rid of them. Sorry, I don't know why I took us to this place. It will ruin
your
life.
Well, then you took us to this place because it destroyed your high school mementos of those boots.
Oh, those boots. I think I took a picture of them, and now I don't know where the picture is.
I mean, damn.
But damn.
Did you have a boyfriend?
No.
Not at all? Not even a smooch?
I had a smooch. I got smooched. My first smooch I was like 15.
How fun is that word to say?
It's the best. Smooch. It should only be smooch.
Smooch.
We smooched.
Smooch me.
hey, would you mind giving me a smooch?
Give me a smooch.
Yeah, no boyfriend. I had a smooch. Did not lose my virginity until late college.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's beautiful.
It's something.
I think so.
I don't know.
I was way too young when I lost mine.
How old were you?
I was 14.
Sometimes you're 14.
Sometimes you're 14, and sometimes you go into high school fully sexually active.
Sometimes you do.
And you know
what? How did you feel about it? In retrospect, are we at peace with where we landed on this?
Totally. But like in retrospect, we need to put it on a mug. Tevi knows what I'm going to say. All high school sex is bad. You disagree because you think you had good high school sex.
I feel like
Tevi lost her voice, which is why she can't chime in.
I'm so sorry.
Tevi was getting banged out in high school.
Finger banged out. I feel like I know a couple people who were having good sex in high school.
False.
But I mean,
false.
100% far outweighed number of people having the worst of the worst.
Yes, because.
But by the way, and then can I say one sad thing? Sorry to interrupt you.
No, please interrupt me.
Sex continues to be really bad for a lot of people for just forever because men.
Yes, men.
Because men.
Men
with
are.
With a few gorgeous exceptions.
Men are, as a whole, I would say straight men are, I want to say.
We're talking straight men, obviously.
Yeah, 95% of them are bad at sex.
Yeah.
Because they're dumb and society doesn't really expect, frankly, anything from them.
No, I would say not interested in learning.
Yeah, period.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm grateful that I wasn't in that place.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no one would have me. There was not a lot of takers. There were not a lot of gentlemen callers. I was really like very odd.
I can't wait to see a picture of you.
Oh God. I'll try to dig something up.
Knock, knock, knock. Is that a door knock I hear? Why, yes, it is. We're in the high school guidance counselor's office.
Oh, okay. Hi.
And it's me, your high school guidance counselor.
Hello.
In this section of the pod, you get to rectify a wrongdoing of your high school past. Mm. You get to say sorry to someone. You get to say fuck you to someone. Or you get to do both. Whatever you do, you just, you know, now whatever's ailing you will dissolve after we speak about it once.
Wow. What a blessing to have this do-over. I mean, I was thinking about this. Given how few gentlemen callers there were, one does haunt me.
Mm.
I was so high strung and nervous and very insecure and just, how many more words to, you get the picture. There was a boy, I'm trying to remember his name, I'm trying to even remember the situation. I think I heard that this nice boy who was kind of like a little punk rocky, nerdy, sort of ducky-ish, cool kid. You know what I mean? In my painting a picture. Who was like that? I think I heard that he liked me. I didn't know him well. And then it was like, you know how just because also was like it was making its way to me via like boots on the ground.
Right, friend. Right.
He likes you and like wants to ask you like on a date or something.
Whoa.
And we're like after school, it's out, school's letting out, standing in front of the school with friends, like saw this boy approaching. I want to say maybe his name was Phil.
Let's call him
Phil. I can't remember. Like saw him coming and I think I literally ran away.
No.
Or he was like, hi, and I think I physically just fled the scene.
Oh my goodness.
Because I couldn't handle it.
Of course. I mean, that's such pressure.
It was too much. I was like, I can't.
Also, when you hear, that is something that I do feel bad for kids now. They will never have the full telephone effect.
No.
Because so much happens in that. It's so, it really gets your blood pumping.
It gets your blood pumping. Anyway, I just like hightailed it away and similarly to remembering the Merry Christmas, I'm Weird Person, who I've never forgotten but hadn't thought about in a really long time, I was like, oh, that maybe he was supposed to be my real husband.
Yeah.
I blew it. Know. Anyway, so guidance, I'm sorry, maybe Phil.
Sorry, maybe Phil. And sorry. Actually, I want to say a fuck you to the Merry Christmas I'm Weird guy
because he ruined it for you. I mean, talk about like butterfly effect.
Yeah.
It really changed things. Yeah.
Had he looked at your father and was like,
hello, sir, yeah, welcome.
Sir, welcome to
Thank
the
you for coming.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you for supporting the arts.
Thank
sir.
You for supporting the arts, sir. Honored to. Yeah. Thank you for
honored
your service.
Honored to serve.
Honored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah. Wild.
Do you think that you were scared of perhaps being rebellious because your dad was a cop?
Well, he wasn't. It's so funny. Because everyone, when you say your dad's a probation officer, they're like, he's a cop? I'm like, not a cop. It's not a cop.
It's not a cop.
It's something else.
What is it?
They're handling like people who are on probation. It's like a
caseworker.
Like a caseworker. It's almost kind of more in the vein of like, it's a criminal justice social worker.
Love that.
A social worker type person within the criminal justice system.
But do you think that that instilled fear in you? And what did your mom do for work?
My mom was a teacher. She taught at many different public schools, mainly elementary, like many different places over the course of like at least 30 years in New York City. Yeah.
Back to your dad being a fake cop. Did he ever like tell you stories like scared straight?
No, he wasn't. This is, I think, painting the wrong picture of him, because he's actually like a very interesting offbeat person who he's the one who's doing, both my parents, God bless, were the ones doing some drugs. Like a lot of pot.
Yes.
A lot of waking and bake, like taking me to, like, it was almost more like family ties isn't the right type of person, but you remember that like Alex B. Keaton's dad was the cool one.
Yeah.
And he's like a writer and a poet, and like,
beautiful.
He just had, like,
he was a bohemian probation officer,
just like the Queen song.
Yeah.
Bohemian probation officer. And he came from a lightly traumatic past. And so the probation officering of it all, I think he was risk averse, having come from a very chaotic life.
Yeah.
And was trying to make a stable, just in a world where, again, he won't ever hear this podcast.
Yeah.
But I feel like I must say these things, like, all of his, like, don't go to fame school stuff was just, like, just wanting stability.
Of course.
Wanting the best.
100%.
As they all do.
As they all do.
As they all do.
All right. We have a classmates' corner today. And Tevi lost her voice, so I will be reading this.
Okay. I feel better, Tevi.
All right. This comes from a listener named Tracy.
Tracy. The name I always wanted to be named.
Really?
Yes.
I always wanted to be named Heather.
Ooh.
Sad.
I think it worked out.
I think it worked out. And I think it worked out for you too.
I think we're doing great.
Okay. Tracy says, I want to apologize to my sweet high school boyfriend. We'll call him Jay. It was 11th grade, and Jay and I had been dating for almost a year when we decided it was time to lose our virginity. We'd been doing everything but, and we're saying, I love you. So one weekend, our friend's mom was going out of town, and he offered to let us use their house. He'd stay elsewhere so we could have privacy. I guess we had told everyone we were going to fuck. For context, this was in 2001. Mm. We got a pepperoni pizza and a 2-liter of Pepsi from Domino's and watched a kind of sexy 70s movie we'd rented from Blockbuster.
Mm.
About halfway through the movie, we decided to go upstairs to our friends and get busy. Mm-hmm. To my shock and amazement, I came. Wow.
Okay.
It wasn't bad, honestly, but my young clit needed a rest, and I stopped him. Poor Jay did not get to finish the first time he got laid.
Oh, Jay.
To be fair, he'd gotten a blowjob to completion mere hours before.
What?
But I still look back and cringe at the idea of our greasy pepperoni bodies in the gnarliest high school boy's bed and Jay not even getting to finish. I remember there was food and trash all around the room. We went on to date for another year and had plenty of sex, obviously. We had a lighthearted and fun relationship, but we literally never talked about that first time again. I've told people about the pizza, weird movie, and me having an orgasm, but I always leave out the part about stopping before he got to come because I've been so ashamed. So, Jay, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
What is Tracy? Tracy, the person I wanted to be named. I think Tracy's being really hard on herself.
Me too. I say, Tracy, you are doing a service for all the young high school girls out there that never get to come.
Yes, and?
Yes.
How lucky was Jay
yes.
to be getting anywhere near this goddess Tracy?
100%.
A blowjob to completion? First of all, just that.
Yeah.
Jay, I think still owes you a bedillion thank you notes.
Yeah, I agree.
And then also, like, losing your virginity is hard on a vag.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't want to project. It's all different bodies and all shapes and experiences.
Yes.
But, like, yeah. Like, that's, you know, you got to take a rest.
And I bet you...
I don't think she owes Jay an apology of any kind.
Me either.
I really think Jay got really lucky here.
Me too. Jay also, like, probably is traversing the world thinking he's king sex.
I think any young man that gets to king sex...
Well, it's true.
Any young man that is losing his virginity in high school...
should be lucky.
I think
guys are fucking whacking it 24/7 in high school. You think that this man wasn't like, I need to go pee, and then went and just whacked it in the bathroom? He 100% did.
I cannot get past blowjob to completion mere hours before.
You know that was also the time when we all felt pressured to swallow, too.
Don't get me started.
Honey, I stopped. Once I realized that was an option not to, I was like, this ain't going down my gourd ever again.
I can't.
I mean, it's literally, like, honestly could make me hurl.
I can't even talk about it.
Yeah. There's a reason why it's called spunk in the UK, babes.
I just really want Tracy to let it go.
Me too.
Yeah.
You must. We release you of this guilt.
I'm handing Tracy a folded American flag and saying thank you for your service.
Honestly, like,
yeah.
This is kind of a service-oriented episode, being the child of a bohemian cop. You can thank people for their service.
Oh my God. Wow.
Also, thank you, Tracy, for writing in. And please, will you fuckers write into my goddamn podcast? Because I get really upset when I don't hear from you. And then when I do hear from you, I love it. Like, that just made my day.
Great.
So please email me at seniorsuperlativespod@gmail.com with the fucking subject line classmates corner, because I have nothing else to live for. I am being nice. Tevi's saying I'm not being nice. I'm telling you, I'm desperate. I'm desperate, people. I'm desperate. I'm desperate to hear from
desperate
you.
Desperate woman.
Jesse.
Yes.
Did you go to prom?
No, of course not.
Okay.
No. No, me and my friend Kat, I don't know why she was always gorgeous and stunning.
Everyone's friend named Kat in high school is gorgeous. Famously gorgeous and
gorgeous.
Stunning.
Seems like she would have been asked to prom, but we didn't go to prom. We decided to spend the evening. We dressed up for each other. I went to her house. I think her mom was like out of town or whatever. Went over to her place. She had a cat. We dressed up the cat.
What were you wearing? What was the cat wearing? What was she wearing?
She and I wore like long, like floral dresses that we had, like that were appropriate to the time, sort of like a Laura Ashley type of vibes or something. And we just put like a little bandana on the cat.
Cute.
And then we got like Bartles and James wine coolers. And I do believe I got so drunk I threw up.
Okay, so you were like...
I would drink when like the opportunity was presented.
Right.
Like, but
well,
I wasn't
really
smart or squirrely enough to be like figuring out how to underage drink a lot.
Well, we love a wine cooler.
Still do.
Yeah.
Kind of have circled back to preferring it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you think I'm not icing down a white wine on
Absolutely.
A hot day, cup of ice,
I
white wine around it.
I kind of can't drink wine unless it's with ice anymore. I don't care how nice it is.
I have a moment with waiters every time I order a glass of wine where I'm like, can I get this wine? And I was like, I'm sorry. I know you don't like it, but I would like a cup of ice.
Yeah.
And I'm just standing in my truth.
It's fine.
I want it with that cup of ice. I want it very cold.
Yes.
And if you have it with ice, you drink a little less.
And can I say something too? I even want to do this with red wine.
Well, a cold red, I mean, I feel like has come into vogue in the last few years as well.
I was out to dinner last night with my husband for our anniversary. Beautiful
Congrats.
Meal. Thank you. But we had a gorgeous meal.
Where'd you go?
We went to Capo, a very fancy Italian restaurant.
Oh, I've heard.
It's not fancy. It's just very expensive.
Sure.
Delicious food. Delicious meal.
Great.
And we had a beautiful, beautiful bottle of red wine.
Beautiful.
And honey, all that I was thinking about was, I'd love a cube in this thing.
Put a cube in her.
But I couldn't. I couldn't.
Felt too gauche.
Not there. Not there. Mm. Not there. Not there. And also, my father-in-law, who's a real mensch, bought us the bottle of wine as a gift.
Okay.
So I thought,
yeah, don't ice her down.
Barry can't find out. I'm
It's tough to water down a red, I do feel like.
It's embarrassing.
Like a white can't, like I'm
a white,
like,
you can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong. Already, but a red watered down, I'm not sure.
It's tough.
But I also think live your truth.
I agree.
Okay.
What was I going to say? What do I have? What other questions do I have? Oh, yes. I remember now.
Yeah.
If you could go back to your high school self and give your high school self any advice, what would it be?
Oh, God. I would say this to, like, kind of everyone. You're just, like, you're prettier than you think. Everyone's prettier than they think. It's like that.
That's gorgeous. Me.
Gorgeous.
In high gorgeous. School, you think?
Gorgeous. Gorgeous. Gorgeous now, gorgeous then. But I just had no. I don't know. Maybe some people aren't. But I was so, like, beleaguered by the feeling of inadequacy. It's like the Nora Ephron line about, like, just, like, telling young women, like, put a bikini on and don't take it off until you're at least 35. And she's saying that in the 70s. And now she would say, until you're, like, 70.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wish I'd known.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, yeah, that. It's like, you're doing good.
Are you still wearing bikinis?
I've never worn a bikini.
What?
Never. No, thank you. Not for this gal. Don't really want to be in a bathing suit ever.
Period?
If I'm being honest.
Wow.
Yeah.
No pool, no beach?
I mean.
What about vacation? Like, what about, like, a little vacay?
I just don't feel comfortable. I mean.
What if it's just you?
I mean, I was just in one to, like, go. I will put. It's not like I won't, but I don't enjoy it.
Okay.
And I'm not, like, enjoyably shopping for them.
How do you feel about, like, a cute, because now there are so many brands that make those really cute, like, little shorts,
little shorties,
and, like, little, like,
the ones that I have are one pieces that, like, are so long that I could wear them to dinner.
Cute.
Yeah,
it's like a wetsuit.
No, it's like sort of like the 50s retro, like, hip
it's
length
nice.
But like a little skirted sort of vibe.
Have you ever checked out Cynthia Rowley's swimwear?
She does make cute swimwear. Yes,
I feel like that could be good.
That's cute. I have.
If you look back and think, this is even though I'm asking this question very slowly, it's a rapid fire question.
Okay.
What was your favorite high? What was your go-to high school snack?
A Celentano frozen pizza.
That's good.
Yeah.
Now, my final question of the pod.
Okay.
Which I can't believe we're already at the end. Are we
did
already
it.
At the end? We're literally, oh my God, we are literally already at the end.
Here we are.
Did you have a senior superlative?
As in, like, funniest, blah, blah, blah? Like, was it in my yearbook?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do that, I don't feel like.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I do know that it was like there was your picture and then you could have your quote.
Oh, what was your quote? I
prefer quotes to superlatives. The quote was a Bob Dylan quote, not from Visions of Johanna, a different song. And also, like, my picture is just me, like, just so sour-faced.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say this out loud. My senior quote was from a Bob Dylan song, and it was the line where it goes, "Yes, I wish that for just one time you could stand inside my shoes, you'd know what a drag it is to see you." Oh, get over yourself.
Emotional.
Get over yourself.
Oh, my
Be
God.
Be part of the group, you dummy.
No.
Fucking get along, Jesse.
Very brooding.
Oh, so brute. So dark.
I love it.
Dark, dark, dark.
That's fun.
No.
I think
true
it's
drag.
Great.
Who was the drag?
Who?
Look at yourself, girl.
Look at yourself in the mirror.
I mean,
no, you weren't. I've lightened drag.
Up. I've lightened up. I felt like I was like, I'll reject them before they reject me.
100%. I still feel that way. I said something to someone the other day that it was dark. I was like, I also try to not indulge my. So I was also like an emotional like. Yeah. But I was just like, yeah, I'm used to nothing working out.
Oh, God.
And it's like, shut up.
Shut up.
You dumb
bitch.
We all
do it. You stupid, I know. Dumb bitch.
I know.
We live these lives. We're carrying this stuff around.
I know.
It's rough out there.
It is.
But we've got to brighten when we can.
This was a cathartic episode.
Merry Christmas.
I didn't let us. I want you to come back on to talk about what your high school would have been like at LaGuardia.
Oh my God. I mean, fan fiction of your own life.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I will. Anytime.
Jesse, you know, we are not really promoting things these days.
No, we're not.
But.
And even if we were, I don't have anything.
Even if we were, you don't have
but
anything.
But I'll pretend it's because I'm on strike.
Well, you
no,
know.
No, I don't know. There's
a lot of great things you do that you're involved in that, you know, we're just not going to talk about.
We're not going to talk about. And you know what? Give us a fair deal.
That's
AM,
it.
And TPP. Come on.
Yeah, for all of the AMTP people.
AMPTP.
The AMPTP people.
Come on.
Listening to this podcast.
I know. Just them and my dad. We'll get there.
Well, Jesse, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me. This is so
Love
fun.
Chatting with you. As always, you know, I'm just bringing you the most hard-hitting podcast of all time, the most important podcast of all time. Some might say the most relatable podcast of all time. Mm-hmm. And some might say the only podcast that should exist. So thank you for listening to Senior Superlatives. Please subscribe. Give me 5 stars. Only 5 stars. Like, only positivity. This I do this because I love doing this. And, honey, I don't need you to critique me unless you're paying me. And then you can critique me. But if you're not paying me, I don't want to hear it. Until next time, stay cool. Never change. Ciao.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.